Welcome to everyone who's here tonight. It's a great privilege to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just trust that the Lord will bless him. Can you go over now to read a couple of quotes from the scripture? Can you go over to Ezekiel chapter 36 and read a portion from there? Ezekiel chapter 36. And the Lord speaking to his people Israel, who had profaned his name among the nations, and he was speaking here in prophecy how he would sanctify himself in them before the eyes of the nations. And he declares the work that God shall do. In verse 24, he says, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and union. So that was Ezekiel 36, 24 to 28. Now, just go over to. If you prefer just listen as I read, and I'll come to the portions. We're over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth there, and of the ministry which he had toward the Gentiles, toward all men, he says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. In other words, Christ's love was working in him to compel him. Because we thus judge, that if one died, that is Christ, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And then over to John 3. And I'll read a portion of this chapter. The previous chapter ends with the Lord Jesus Christ at the time of Passover being believed on by many men, it says. It says in verse 24, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And then we come into chapter 3. And though he needed not the testimony of man, now we're going to have the Lord giving his own testimony, a true testimony of man and man's need. And it says in chapter 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it wills, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, or a teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I'll just close here. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ given a testimony of mankind. What an ideal candidate Nicodemus turned out to be, for to take and set before our eyes, and to use him for to testify of mankind in general. If you want to show the complete worthlessness of a thing, or the complete uselessness of a person, or of humanity as a whole, don't take the least. And on the basis of the failure of that which is the least, make an argument for its uselessness as a whole. You don't take the worst of men and take them and show their absolute failure and their inability, and make an argument on that failure and inability as a general principle concerning the whole of mankind. You take that which is outstanding, that which has tried, and that which has given its best, and that which has attained to great heights, and you show that thing that stands high, and that man that stands tall, to be unable, completely unable, to achieve anything in God's sight. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ does in this chapter. Nicodemus is a great man to show our need, and the Lord Jesus Christ will testify of man who's speaking about him. Look what Nicodemus does. He comes, and it says in verse 1, a ruler of the Jews is a ruler. But this man had heard the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he heard the Lord Jesus Christ, he was compelled to seek the Lord Jesus Christ to learn something. This teacher, Lord Jesus Christ, has asked him down the chapter, are you a master of Israel and knowest not these things? But she was speaking about new birth, spiritual birth. In other words, Nicodemus, what are you teaching? You're a teacher. You don't know these things. What on earth are you teaching? But Nicodemus was drawn to learn of a man that he knew was a teacher come from God. It does good to ask tonight, why do we come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do we come to a place like this where believers meet? Why do we come where the scriptures are opened up and where they're taught? Why are we about anything religious, I'll say that word in a general sense? What is our motive? What is our purpose? Nicodemus had a purpose in life. It's to follow the Jews' religion and to excel when he got to the place where he was a teacher of it. The Lord Jesus Christ pointed to him and basically underscored the fact that he had missed the whole heart of what God was saying to man and all the scriptures. Nicodemus comes and he asks what we should all ask. Learn from a great teacher. A man who is teaching and knew he missed something. Now here's a man, a teacher come from God, I need to go and speak to him. He has an answer for me. And many things are said about Nicodemus, why he came at night. I don't know really why he came at night. He was a teacher. Maybe he was so busy during the day teaching disciples, discipling men, sitting there answering hard questions, and he would give his traditional answers, and the answers that the Jews had been taught to pass on from generation to generation, each generation adding something, taking away something, and until they had nothing but a master tradition, and only that together. No wonder Nicodemus was asked, "Are you a master of Israel, and knowest not these things?" The traditions of man, they depart so far from God, and the Lord Jesus Christ would recognize, "You're a rabbi, you're a teacher, sent from God." And what does the Lord Jesus Christ say to Nicodemus? Straight into the heart of it. Never mind all these things. I'll take you on that very thing you say. I'm a teacher, come from God, you'll listen and learn. If you recognize us about the Lord Jesus Christ, if we know nothing else about the Lord Jesus Christ, but that he's a teacher sent from God, that very recognition should fill us to silence to listen to what he has to say. And what he says to this man, this great man, this man who had reached such a great height, and he had recognized he had missed something, the Lord Jesus Christ starts to answer his question. Jesus answered and said to him in verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verily, verily, truly, truly, make no mistaking about this, the Lord saying, in spite of everything, unless you have been born again, you shall not see the kingdom of God. Now that's not a preaching in the gospel in itself to declare that to me. That's preparatory. We need to understand that we have fallen short of God's kingdom. We've missed it. We are not part of it. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching. No religion, no place that you may have attained to in life through following traditions, even through your desire to be godly and following set ways and traditions, without spiritual birth, without being born again, nothing can get you into God's kingdom. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants to show this to Nicodemus here. And Nicodemus doesn't even really understand what's been said. He said, what do you mean? And Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Now, Nicodemus had an understanding of what was saying, but he didn't understand it rightly. You know, the Jews, they made converts from other religions and from the heathens and the pagans and people who had no understanding of God's word. And when they taught them their traditions and taught them this is God's way, which Nicodemus thought he was following, a man from another nation had said, "Yes, I want to follow the God of Abraham," and endorse what the Jews said was God's way, and subscribe to that and say, "Yes, I want to become a Jew." They were taken, they were circumcised, and they were also baptized, they were immersed. And they were taken out, and it was a sign of we've been born over again. So Nicodemus understood that part, there needs to be a new birth. But he didn't understand how it applied to him because different to a convert from another nation and from another religion, here was a man who was born a Jew. Here was a man who had been circumcised. Here was a man who had risen to high standing in the Jewish religion. What was he to be born into? Wasn't he not already in it? Wasn't he not already in it? How could he be born again? What would he be born to? And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to show what he means. It's not so much being born as a new, the Lord Jesus Christ has seen that. But it's the kind of birth that's in you. The kind of birth, the nature of birth. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks to a man who was a Jew all his days. A man who was a teacher of the Jewish religion. And he says this. Listen to the way the Lord speaks to him. And he's speaking directly to Nicodemus. Because his question was, how can one be born? Can a man enter back into his mother's womb when he is old? And he's speaking about himself. Here I am, an old man, teacher. Can I be born again? And he's saying, the Lord Jesus Christ says no. And what does he, what is he pointing to? Look at the words. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. It's the kind of birth that's in you. That which is born of or from the flesh. The Jews had a religion that departed from the word of God. It was no longer looking to, they anticipated the Messiah coming. But many in Jerusalem, in the big mass of the teaching fraternity in Israel, were no longer teaching faith in God, faith in the coming Messiah, but believing he was coming as a political and a religious ruler, but that they could follow him in their own strength, as long as they applied themselves to the rules and regulations which the rabbis had set before them. As long as they had done the do's and didn't do the don'ts of the law outwardly, and their own efforts. That which was born of the flesh, this whole tradition, this whole idea of being right with God through works of the flesh, man's efforts to keep the law, the Lord Jesus Christ says, that which is born of the flesh, whether it be a convert from another religion or another nation coming into Judaism and going through this ceremony of being born into the Jewish nation, born again, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That work of the flesh coming to God is only flesh. It doesn't bring a spiritual relationship with God. Even for a Jew grow up in that religion, their efforts, the works of the flesh, that which is born of the flesh, they were born from their parents physically, they were born from their nation physically. And there they were, working physical things, only doing physical things, and Nicodemus had missed the heart of it. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. One like you needs to be born over again. Not to this religion, not to the flesh religion. You need not to be a disciple of Judaism, a disciple led by other rabbis. And you need not to be a teacher who is teaching off your flesh others to follow the rabbinical system, the Jews' way. He's saying you need to be taught of God. You need to be convinced of God. You need to learn of the Spirit and to be brought into this new relationship with God through the working of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that's all it is. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And Nicodemus is challenged. Notice how the Lord Jesus Christ, this great one, doesn't say he needs to be discipled over again only. He doesn't take him to his bar mitzvah when a Jewish male became a man legally and nationally at the age of 12, 13. He doesn't say you need to become a man all over again. He doesn't take him back to Jewish circumcision and say, you need to be circumcised all over again. That was the eighth day. He says, you must be born again. What's the significance of that? That's the idea of what I was saying. It's not so much the birth that's in God, but it's in you. It's what is born. Sin doesn't start at birth. David wrote in the 51st Psalm, verse 5, he says, behold, I was shaken in iniquity, formed the work in the womb, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Sin is part of our nature. It's inherited from our parents. At the point of conception, all that we ever shall be is there in seed form. Sinners from the word go. When the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about birth, you must be born again. He's speaking about the revelation of what a man is. We know a child, what kind of child a child is, when it, only after it's born. It's when a child's born, we begin to see the nature of the child. When my wee daughter there, Patience, I see already, she already blatantly defies when we tell her not to do things. And she understands when we want her to do certain things, even at this young age. Our child was born a sinner, but her sin nature was conceived. And the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing before us the nature of man. And he's saying to Nicodemus, it's not just that you need to be born again, you need to be that which you've brought forth, that kind of person that's brought forth, as one that needs to be conceived, that needs to be brought forth and formed by the Spirit of God. And that's the type of person that needs to be brought out before the eyes of God. That which is born of the flesh, of the Spirit, is Spirit. And he goes on to say, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And he goes to explain to him, the wind blows where it lists. Nicodemus is asking, how can these things be? What does the Lord Jesus Christ tell him? He says, listen, take an object lesson from life. You're so concerned, you've been learning all your days, you've been teaching all your days, but by your own confession, you don't know everything. You're here to learn from me. Let me teach you something. You don't need to know everything. Do you know where the wind comes from, Nicodemus? Answers no. Do you know where the wind's going, Nicodemus? No. But you know the wind's at work. That's enough. And he's saying to Nicodemus here, and he's saying to us, if we're outside of Christ here tonight, we don't need to understand all these things, but you need to understand, God needs to do a work in you. It must be God's work. Not your efforts. A new creation, a new person, that which is conceived from the Spirit of God and brought out before God as a new person, that type of person needs to be born. And he tells Nicodemus, all you need to know is that God will do the work. That's what he's saying there when he speaks about the wind. You hear the sound thereof, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. When God works, and you know that God is convicting you in your heart because of your sin, you don't need to be asking, where is that coming from? God's working. When you understand that I can see that Jesus is my only hope, you don't need to be asking, where will it go from here? You only need to be concerned that God's working. And God's working like the wind. Hear the sound of it. Listen. Nicodemus, as a teacher, has subjected himself to listen. As a student, rather than a teacher, and to learn of the Lord, and the Lord is teaching him. Listen, accept this testimony. You didn't understand it all, but the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching him. You don't need to know it all, but you need to understand these key things. God's Spirit needs to be working in you. You need to be born of the Spirit of God, born from above. And then he goes on. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And the Lord Jesus Christ is telling him, Nicodemus, here he is, he's saved, he's an old man. He's been a teacher, he's failed to understand the heart of God's message, and he's here to learn it from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust and hope that we all are here tonight, look to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does he say? The Lord Jesus Christ is declaring that he is the Lord from heaven. Look what he says. He says in verse 13, no man hath ascended, showing his authority to teach. Nicodemus had recognized that, a man, a teacher sent from God. But he wants to show him, I'm more than a teacher sent from God. I am actually the Lord from heaven. I've been sent from God, Nicodemus, in a way that you have no idea. I have not been just raised up in the nation of Israel, and God has directed me as a teacher. I came down from heaven as the Creator. He says this, he says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. The Lord Jesus is saying, I've ascended to heaven. I've come down from heaven, I've ascended to heaven. There's been this to and fro from heaven and earth in the Lord Jesus Christ's life. And he says this concerning himself, who is this man, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven? Even while he was upon the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ occupied room in heaven. How can that be? Not in his physical nature, but he is God incarnate. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the one who was walking on the earth in a human body was sitting in all the fullness of glory in heaven, filling up all the fullness of all space and time and eternity, because God changes not. And he's saying, this is the authority. And this is it. I am the one who has this wisdom to impart to you, Nicodemus. And then he goes to show the basis of how Nicodemus could be rid of his old life. He's told him effectively, Nicodemus, everything about you is a waste before God. You're standing in Judaism. You're standing as a Pharisee. You're standing as a great rabbi who teaches others. As absolutely a waste before God. Now, if that's the case with Nicodemus, how do we think the Lord views us if we've not been born again? I don't know anything like Nicodemus, but is there anyone here who's achieved the same sort of standing in our nation? Who in Scotland knows me? Who in Ethel knows me? What about you? Here's a man who was a rabbi, a teacher of the nation. In comparison, what are we and our works? And the Lord says, such a great one is nothing. Such achievements are waste. What have you achieved? Well, you say that you're more than Nicodemus's. I could. But you know something? Whatever we've achieved is a waste in God's sight. The scripture says that we are saved by grace, not works. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. And he goes to Nicodemus and he's showing him, since your life is a waste, as far as having any spiritual merit before God, as far as bringing into the kingdom of God, as far as anything, last thing is concerned, here's the answer to how you can be severed from that. Have all that waste taken away. Have all that rubbish, that which is tying you down, that which is like a weight taking you to hell, that which you are proud of, which God sees no value in. Here's how. It can be severed away and you can be free. And he takes him to the cross. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever, even you Nicodemus, and even you whoever you are, trusting whatever you're trusting in, that which God frowns upon, because it's not of him, not of the Spirit, but of your own works, takes you to the cross. Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, and he's taken them back, taken Nicodemus back to an event which he well knew, back in Israel's wanderings, as they were going through the wilderness and complaining, as God was supplying them manna from heaven, water out of the rock, and all the good things that the Lord gave them. And they complained, and the Lord sent serpents in among them, fiery serpents. And that people within the camp, multitudes fell down and were dead and were dying. And Moses was commanded of God to make a brazen serpent and to exalt it away up high and to have men look to the serpent. It was a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ being lifted up. Why was it a serpent? Because at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, and lifting up himself, put to death Satan's works. And Satan is depicted as a serpent. And when he lifted this up, all who looked to that, in obedience to God, recognizing, yet for our sins, we are poisoned by these serpents. For our sins, we are dying. For our sins, God has given us a way of forgiveness. To recognize our guilt and look to this serpent, and we obey God. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks to Nicodemus. He had no doubt thought about this. He showed him the real meaning. He said, Nicodemus, it's all about me. It's all about me. And the scriptures, the teachings of the New Testament tells us that everything in the Old Testament was all about him. And the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing this man a teacher who had failed to teach what he should have taught, because he had never been taught properly himself, nor trusted. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, as that serpent was lifted up, so must I be lifted up at the cross. And it's there, Nicodemus. There, all your failure. There, Nicodemus, all your great achievements of nothing. There, that way of ruin, which will bring you to ruin. can be put to death, severed from you, and you can walk away to a new creation. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said to us. We can walk away free from everything which we have proudly boasted in, everything which we have taken some sort of feeling of security in it, and think I'm okay. That which is born of the flesh, no matter how good, never ever becomes anything else but what it always was, flesh. And God is a spirit. And they that worship Him, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we pray us must worship in spirit and in truth. The truth is, we can achieve nothing in our own efforts. The Lord taught that to Nicodemus. The truth is, by our own efforts, no matter how great, we shall not see the kingdom of God. The truth is, unless we are born by the work of God, born of the Spirit, born as spiritual people, that kingdom birth, unless that happens, we shall never be in God's kingdom. And the Lord Jesus Christ has told Nicodemus, you don't need to know all of them to get what the work is. You only need to know that God is working. Have you been convicted of your sin, your self-righteousness? God's the one who convicts you. Like the wind, hear it. Have you come to know that Jesus Christ only has taken care of your sin? At the cross, like that serpent who was lifted up, you don't need to understand all the ways and workings of it. All you need to know is that God has done it. Hear Him. God assures us that this is the way that He saved us. He declares it for the work of His love. Look what He goes on to say. The Son of Man should be lifted, shall be lifted up, but whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. God loved the world in this way, that He gave His only begotten Son, not a religion, not a set of rules, a person, a perfect man, Jesus Christ, one who would take our sins on Himself at the cross, die for them. Our vile sins, our proud sins, things that look good in themselves, which are of the flesh, not spiritual, and therefore condemned by God. He gave His only begotten Son to that cross, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Take notice, the Lord Jesus Christ was sitting with this teacher. He wasn't having a conversation or a debate. When he sat before this man sat before him. It was the most solemn atmosphere that you could ever imagine. Here was an eternal soul. Here was a man who was old, who could go at any time. Here was a man who had a burden of weight, and it was the most deceptive kind of sin. It was sin that looked good. A follower of a religion. And the Lord looked into his heart and declared his condition before him. The Lord loved this man, and he told him the truth, and desired him to repent. He spoke about how that man could be free from his sin. It's interesting, when you go back to John chapter 19, you find Nicodemus there. You find Nicodemus there. In verse 38, I'll read this bit in close. And after this is after the crucifixion, the Lord Jesus Christ had taken Nicodemus to the cross, saying the Son of Man should be lifted up like the serpent, revealing to him where he could be severed for this life of proud sin. And here you find Nicodemus, where is he? Where the Lord left him in that great evangelistic message. At the cross the Lord is pointing to. And what does it say? And after this, after his crucifixion, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And he said this, and there came also Nicodemus, and there came also, he came there. which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. No true fellowship. These were men who had come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and had remained secret believers for a while. But at the cross, fellowship starts, open fellowship. And when we come to the cross, like Nicodemus, we're severed from our past, made free to walk on an open fellowship, even in danger. There was Nicodemus at the cross of Jesus, where the Lord had pointed. Let me tell you, if you're outside of Christ tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is pointing nowhere else. Not to this world, not to our religion, your religion, any other religion. The Lord Jesus Christ is pointing you to the cross, where you may have your sins crucified. And the body of Jesus, severed and made free, that you may be a new creation through him. If you come to the cross of Jesus, if you come in your heart and mind to recognize that the death of Jesus Christ, God's Son, was for your sins, all your sins, your vile and proud sins, your so-called good sins, and you come there, the Lord Jesus Christ will pardon your sins, will sever them from you and set you free, and you will walk away the same person, one going on in the flesh, which was the case beforehand, of your spiritual birth. Trusting in him to save your soul. Through trusting in him who rose again to give you his resurrection life. That's what the Lord called us to. Why? For God so loved the world. God so loved us. May the Lord bless you and give you the grace of the time to him. Whatever it is, it's keeping you back. And may the blessing of Jesus Christ, God's Son, close in prayer. Our blessed Redeemer, Father, we thank you tonight again for the Saviour Jesus Christ. Thank you for what he has done at the cross. Thank you, Father, for all the manner of sin that was laid upon him. Father, thank you, Lord our God, for the fact that we need not to understand all things which you have left in your own hand to work out, and have planned it from eternity, and made it simple that we only need to hear you. Listen, trust and obey you. Resting in the fact that our sins have been dealt with by Jesus at the cross, that we should not be punished for them if we trust in him, and that, Lord Father, trusting in him, we may walk in a new life through the working of your Spirit. Grant, Lord, that all here who have heard, are there any out of Christ that might be, that they may, Lord, come to him, even as Nicodemus did at the end. And Father, we pray that you would bless for Jesus' sake.